How many of you are tired? Tired. Okay. So a good number of you are tired. That's probably not tied to the turkey. That's probably not why you're tired. How many of you found that Thanksgiving was really busy? Okay, that's a good number. How many of you find that Christmas is usually busier than most times of the year for you? Okay, then you're going to love our sermon today. We're going to be looking at a text from Matthew chapter 11. This text is one of those passages I think we skip over a lot because it doesn't really fit our lifestyle and kind of our agenda as Christians, but there's some important wisdom in this text. We do a lot of stuff at Thanksgiving. We go to my dad's house on Wednesday for a family reunion, and then we go to my wife's family's in Clayton on Friday, and we're there Friday and Saturday. So we're in Kressel Wednesday and Thursday, and in Clayton Friday and Saturday. And the bad thing about that is a lot of travel, and the good thing is there's no leftovers at our house, because all the leftovers get left in Kressel and Clayton, and we don't have any leftovers. So if you want to have us over, that's fine. But we don't have any leftovers in the fridge, which is kind of nice. But it's really busy, and I have found that as I get older, when I sleep in a bed that's not mine, I really don't sleep. I rest. And some of you will appreciate that. As I used to remember, my father used to hate going on vacations, and now I know why, because he didn't get any sleep. Because, you know, I've gotten kind of used to my bed, and when I'm not in my bed, I don't sleep really well. So I'm really tired. And so as I was thinking about what did I want to talk about as we kind of move into Christmas? It's still November. I don't want to preach a Christmas sermon per se, but maybe this is something a good preparation for the season. This is a text where Jesus has been talking about the kingdom of heaven, and he's giving this kind of statement to the people who are listening to this message. And he ends this message that he's giving with this passage. He says, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, when we think about Christianity in the modern context, it's really interesting how it's kind of been framed. And I don't know if the church has framed it this way or the world's framed it this way, or maybe both of us have. But most people do not conceptualize Christianity as a lifestyle that will give them rest, right? Most people think Christianity would be really hard, and it would be really difficult, and it would be really time-consuming, and there'd be no rest in it. In fact, most people think rest is the secular world where we don't have a relationship with God, and that a relationship with God is going to be really exhausting and really busy, and it's going to wear me out, and I'm going to be exhausted. Now, do you see that in that statement? "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Now, if you look at a lot of commentaries on this, a lot of them kind of point to the fact that the rest that Jesus is addressing here is eternal rest. And I think that probably is included in the meaning. But one of the things you have to remember when you're looking at this text is that what are all these people who are hearing this message living under? They're living under the law. And the law is exhausting. And if you don't believe the law is exhausting, sit down sometimes and just take a casual stroll through Leviticus. Spend some time reading the Mosaic Law and all the things you have to follow. And we kind of generally think, Ten Commandments. But there's a lot more than ten. And there are rules about what you can eat, and there are rules about what you can wear. Some of you may not know this. There's actually rules about what fabric you can wear and what fabrics you can't. And I mean, so there's just this all-encompassing set of rules. And any of you have ever been given rules to follow, rules are exhausting. And so the Jews had become exhausted by the law. And by the way, the Pharisees had spent years adding on to the law so that not only was it the Mosaic Law, but you now had all these addendums that had been added by the Pharisees that made it even more complicated. And so these people are exhausted. And so Jesus, in talking to them, says, "Look, come to me. You guys are weary and you're heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. And I want to suggest to you this morning that there is a physical rest, not just an eternal rest, that there is some physical, tangible rest that is supposed to come from our relationship with God. Now, this concept dates back originally, and I did not pull up a bunch of Old Testament passages. There's a whole string of them I could have pulled up this morning. I don't want to do that. About the Sabbath. So, in just a simple, in a general sense, can anybody tell me what the Sabbath was? What? It was a day of rest. That was it. It was a day of rest. Why did God commemorate the Sabbath as a day of rest? Because on the seventh day of creation, what did he do? He rested. And so the Sabbath was initially set up as a day of rest. Now, why would God institute a day of rest, not as a suggestion for people, but as a command? Because left to our own, well, no, I shouldn't say all of us. Some of us left to our own devices will rest a lot. But we tend to be busy people. I hassle Sam about this all the time. Those of you who think Sam is just like me, let me tell you something. There's a sliver of Titus gene code in there, because that girl overschedules herself all the time, and that is not my gene code. I have been known on occasions to overschedule myself, but generally that is not a sin I am guilty of. Left to my own devices, I will generally underschedule myself, so I will be available for you. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. But I tease Sam because we'll talk to her when she's in school, and her opening line is always, "I'm tired." She's always tired. I'm like, "Why are you tired?" "Well, I've done this week, and I've done this, and I had this, and I got this due, and I got this thing, and I'm doing." And I'm like, "You need to slow down." To which she responds, "What am I going to cut out of my schedule?" Any of you like that? Any of you like that? Isn't it fascinating that one of the leading reasons people give for not coming to church is they're too busy. They're too busy. Stuart, it's the weekend. You know how much stuff's going on. There's all this stuff going on. And we've got this schedule and that schedule. And we're supposed to go there and we're supposed to do this. And we don't have time. There's too much stuff going on. So let's go back to the original question. Why would God schedule a day of rest? Because without a day of rest ordered, you know what we do? We don't take a day of rest. We schedule ourselves and we're busy and we've got all these things going on. And if you go back to the Sabbath, God said, I'm going to institute this day of rest. And this day of rest is not just for you to lay around the house, but it's a day where you are going to separate yourself from all of the physical manual labors of this world that you could be doing. And you're going to worship me. And it's not necessarily some overt thing where you're going to go to the synagogue, you're going to go to the tabernacle. It's not necessarily that. It's just a time for you to slow down and maybe spend some time in communion with God. I'm going to take some rest. I'm going to put aside all this other stuff. And then I'm going to have a day of fellowship with you. Now, as people are inclined to do, over time, what did the Sabbath become to the children of Israel? What happened to it over time? I'm sorry, what? It became a bunch of rules. Because when someone says don't work, what is the question we immediately have to ask? Well, what constitutes work? Is cooking work? If I spill something, is cleaning it up work? If I want to walk to my neighbor's house to have a meal, how far am I allowed to walk on the Sabbath before the walk becomes work? And you know that lawyers live to make rules. And the Pharisees, every time someone would ask one of these ridiculous questions, the Pharisees would come up with an answer. So they're in the law, not in the Mosaic law, but addendums to the law, it actually had stipulations about could you clean up something spilled on the Sabbath? And how far could you walk on the Sabbath? And here's what happened. The letter of the law became so important and so confusing to people that the original purpose of the Sabbath became lost. Any of you ever been familiar with a rule or a law that got so obscured that we couldn't even remember why it was there? And so the original intent of the Sabbath got lost on the children of Israel because it just became about legalism. And it became about, well, what can I do and what can I not do? And okay, so I can't do this, can't do that. I'm gonna sit around. And then you get into this question. Is singing worship? Okay, is singing work? So can I sing on the Sabbath? Is reading the Torah work? Is reading work? Is singing work? So then all of a sudden, the question becomes, if worship is work, can we even worship? And we just completely miss that the original intent of this whole thing was that God, in his knowledge of mankind whom he had created, said, you guys need a day. You need a day to just stop everything you're doing. All the physical labors that you're doing, all the things that you're involved in, you need to stop and take a breath. I was talking with a friend I went to college with several years ago. We were talking, and I hadn't talked to him in a while, and I said, and we were talking, I think it was actually right around Thanksgiving, and I said, what's going on for you the next few months? He was a minister at a church, a fairly good-sized church. I said, what's going on? He says, oh, man, we got stuff going on all the time. Guess I'm almost every night. And then he said this, I'm so busy at Christmas, I don't even enjoy Christmas anymore. He goes, I'm glad when Christmas is over. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you believe that the celebration of the birth of Christ should be something that we're grateful is over because we've become so busy we don't enjoy it? How many of you think that was the intent when somebody initially came up with the idea of celebrating Christmas? Anybody think that was the intent? And yet, I guarantee you there are a fair number of people in this room that are glad when the holidays are over. Because they're so busy, they're so congested with stuff, and there's so many things that have crept in. The shopping and the traffic, and I got to go to this party, and then I got to go to this thing, and the church has got this thing going on that night, and then we got this thing going on that night, and we're going doing this over here, and we're doing that, and then the kids have this thing and that thing, and then we're supposed to go visit this family and that family, and by the time it's over, you're just like, oh, I hate this season. And I just don't think that was the intent of the celebration of the birth of Christ. And he hasn't done that to it. Who's done that? We've done it. Some of you may notice, it's like, how much stuff at the church is going on this year for Christmas? We got one thing. We're doing our soup and sandwich night and our worship thing. Outside of that, we don't have a lot of extracurricular stuff going on during December. You know what would be nice for you to do this holiday season? Schedule some rest. Schedule a day or two, an evening, where you know what I'm gonna do this? You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna stay at home. I'm gonna sit down. You know what? Maybe I'll take out my Bible and maybe I'll read a little. Maybe I'll spend some time in prayer. Maybe I'll just, you know, do something soothing. I never know what I'm allowed to say on live stream because then we get in trouble anybody. Maybe I'll put on one of those streaming music services that plays Christmas music, you know, and put that on and maybe just sit there and have the tree on in the room and just relax. Maybe I'll enjoy some rest in the Father. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen to what he says in 29 and see if this sounds like how we pitch Christianity to people today. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I never cease to be amazed at the number of people who feel more stressed when they leave church than when they showed up. It's like, oh, church is so stressful. We got all this stuff going on. And trust me, as a minister, I have been there. I have done that. When I was a youth minister, there was a job I had once where every Sunday night when I got home, I had a headache. Every Sunday night. Because that job was so stressful, there was always some drama going on, and I literally would go home every night with a headache. Any of you ever gone home from a church thing with a headache? And it wasn't because somebody punched you in the head. It's stress. The stress had done it to you. Oh, Stuart, you don't understand. This ministry we do is so stressful. The praise team is stressful. The sound room is stressful because something messes up and the feed freezes up. I told Denise one time. I don't know if she remembers this. I don't know if she's ever done it. She probably never done it. I said, if the feed ever freezes, and somebody sends a message, say, this is why you should have been at church. The feed doesn't freeze when you're there live. Somebody's at home watching right now going, oh, yeah, watch this. Click, and they just turn it off. It's a joke, people. Lighten up. But it's like everything is stressful. We worry about everything, and we want everything to be perfect. And, you know, I finally got to the point where I stopped. You know, it's like things don't need to be perfect. Ken, this morning, what was that song we did? Was it Hark the Herald Angels? Kim was like, we were getting ready to start, and Kim was like, boom, and I'm like, I don't know that chord. And then we just kind of got lost. You know what? We sang the song. Nobody died. Nothing blew up. It's okay. We worry so much about everything being perfect, and we get so stressed about everything, and the holiday season just adds to the stress. We got to do this and that, and this has to be perfect, and that has to be perfect. I'm gonna give a shout out to Laura Smith, because if you've never watched somebody light a Christmas tree, you talk about a stressful experience. Laura wraps every branch in lights, and that tree had better be rated to not burn down, because there's enough candle wattage. LEDs were the greatest thing that ever happened to Laura when she does a tree, because LEDs won't catch a tree on fire, they say. Laura, have you ever finished a tree and went, that doesn't look right? Some of you are going right. Some of you have done this already. You've put your tree up and went, that doesn't look right. We moved our tree this year to a different place in the house. We've had the tree in the same place for 12 years. Sam and Stephanie decide, time to move it. Caleb's like, don't like it. Caleb hates it. He doesn't like change. Caleb doesn't like change. And when we went through and explained all the reasons it made sense to move it, Caleb's like, I don't care. Doesn't matter. But people get stressed about decorations, and some of you have probably gone out in your yard and went, oh, my neighbor's got more decorations than I probably should run out and get some more. Let me give you a hint. If your neighbor's got better decorations than you, go out in your yard, get a chair, and enjoy theirs. Just enjoy theirs. And if they complain that you don't have enough, tell them, I don't have an electric fence. Come right on over and hook some stuff up. You put some in my yard, we'll all feel better about it. But we have made the holiday season so stressful and so busy that we don't find any rest in it. And it to me, it's really telling that we have people who get to the end of that season and they're grateful it's over. Jesus said, that's not how it's supposed to be. You take my yoke upon you. And by the way, for those of you who are not familiar, what is a yoke used for? Anybody know what a yoke is used for? What? Oxen. Why do you put a yoke on oxen? So you can guide them. So you can steer them. Okay? So think about the context of what this phrase is Jesus says. You take my yoke upon you. In other words, allow me to do what? Guide you. You allow me to steer you. Okay? You take your yoke, you take my yoke upon you, and you learn from me. I went to a prom one time in Indiana. And a friend of mine, like, had a friend, and her boyfriend had dumped her right before the prom, and she wasn't going to go to her prom. And she goes, "Stuart, why don't you go?" I'm like, "I don't even know her." He goes, "Yeah, so she doesn't dislike you yet." Okay. I've never been to Kokomo, Indiana, so I went to this prom. It was fantastic. But one of the things they had carriage rides. They had little carriage rides at the country club. It was nice. We get in the carriage. We had one of these carriage drivers that wanted to turn around and talk to us the whole time. And I'm like, "Dude, turn back around. Why are you bugging us?" And at one point I said, "Dude, don't you need to be watching the horses?" You know what he said to me? "Horses know where they're going. They know where they're going. We've been around this loop 20 times tonight. I don't even have to worry with them." I'm like, "I wish you would." But the horses had learned. They knew the path. And he said, "Look, horses aren't going to run off a cliff. I mean, they'll stop. You know, if there's something in the way, they'll stop." And I'm like, "You're not making me feel any better about this. You should be watching them." But that's what Jesus says. You take my yoke upon you and what? Learn from me. I'll tell you what the right path is. You learn from me how to move around the path, how to find rest in your life. I'll teach you how to do that. He said, "I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Do you realize that one of the biggest misconceptions in the world, and one of the things that makes Christianity so unappealing for so many people who have never really been involved with it, and maybe sadly for some that have, is their belief that Christianity will make their life harder, not better. It's a miserable experience. It's so hard. How do you know it's hard? Because I know Christians, and they're miserable. Because they complain all the time about how hard it is and how terrible it is. And I can't do this and I can't do that. And you know, and I'm so busy with all this stuff and that stuff. And so we kind of create this image that there's no rest in Christianity. If I ask you this morning, before this sermon had started, how many of you feel like you have found rest in your faith? A lot of you have been like, I don't know. Maybe. Some of you have probably been, "No, I haven't found any rest. Is that even a thing?" Jesus says it's a thing. He said we're supposed to find rest in him. Now listen to what he says in verse 30. He says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is what? Light." My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, if Jesus says his yoke is easy and his burden is light, why do so many people believe that being a Christian is incredibly difficult and terribly inconvenient and hard? Why do people think that? Huh? Maybe we're doing it wrong. It's become commercialized, yeah, to some extent, kind of like Christmas. You know, it's like we take things and we make them more difficult than they need to be sometimes. Now, that's not to say, I want to be clear. Yes, we did just a few weeks ago preach the passage. It says, "Wide is the road that leads to destruction. Narrow is the road and the gate that leads to eternity." But the fact that the path is narrow doesn't mean that the path is incredibly difficult. It's just that very few people seem to find it. Maybe more people would find it if we did better advertising. When you talk to people about your faith, do you talk about it like it's the best thing that's happened in your life? I don't know where I'd be without my relationship with the Lord. I have more peace in my life. I feel more calm. I feel more relaxed. I don't worry as much. Does that sound like rest to you? That's to me what rest sounds like. But we're so high strung and we worry so much. And everything has to be perfect, and everything we've got to stay busy. Any of you ever been assigned busy work? That you knew the minute someone told you to do this, this had no purpose except to keep you busy. I think sometimes we do that unintentionally, but I think we do that in religion. It's so important for us to remember that the God who initiated the Sabbath, a day where his people would take a day off from all the work and just enjoy some time with him. And man, that God hasn't changed. I mean, he's still there. And he still wants us to find rest. And if you're going, how do you know? Because that's exactly what Jesus, his son, tells these people. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I'm going to give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart. You'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Now, I just want you to take a minute and ask yourself a question. Is that the Christianity that you've experienced? Is that the Christianity you've experienced? Have you experienced a Savior whose yoke is easy and his burden is light? Now, a lot of this has to do with perspective, right? Perspective is an amazing thing. If you grew up in the city and you went to, well let's say, how many of you grew up in a city Greenville or larger? Wow, not many of you. How many of you grew up in small town? Okay, so here's a good Christmas example. When I was growing up in Crestwell, you know where we went shopping for Christmas? Who said Edenton? You go to Edenton, maybe? Or you'd go to Washington? Huh? Stay off the catalog. We're not talking about the catalog. I said, where do you go? Not what did you open? Well, you go to Edenton, you go to Washington, maybe. You go to Greenville or Norfolk. Greenville. Where do Greenville people go to shop? They go to Raleigh. They go to Raleigh. Because you know what Greenville people say about shopping in Greenville? There's nothing here. You don't hear people from Crestwell or Madame Mesquite say, there ain't nothing in Greenville. There's nothing in Greenville. When I was a youth minister at Hunter's Bridge, I'd bring the youth group to Greenville, and they thought we had gone to Disney World. When I was a youth minister here, the kids were like, why can't we leave Greenville? There's nothing here. I'm like, 2 years ago, a group of kids thought this was the greatest place in the world. What's the difference? Perspective. It's perspective. If you grow up in a small place, Greenville seems massive. If you grew up in Greenville, you're like, I got to go to Raleigh. It's all perception. It's all how we perceive our surroundings. So when Jesus is communicating to these people who have been burdened by the law, they've been under this yoke of the law, and it's been so burdensome and so tiresome. Jesus says, come to me. My yoke is easy. My burden's light. Compared to what? Compared to the law. Now, from our perspective, we don't come to Jesus out of the law. What do we come to Jesus out of? The world. We come to Jesus out of sin. And sin has an incredibly heavy burden. Oh, it looks fun, but I would guess everybody in this room knows what I mean when I say that sin carries a tremendous burden. Some of you today, even after receiving forgiveness, are still burdened by sins you committed 20 years ago. Right? Yeah. So we understand the burden. Jesus says, you think the world is a great place. I'm telling you, if you just come to me, this is better. My yoke is easy. My burden's light. You think the world is so much better, but it's not if you would just come to me. So here's the question. When people in the world look at you, do they see somebody they perceive as living a better life or a worse one? How do they perceive your existence under the yoke of Christ? You claim to be under that yoke. If you're a Christian, you say, I'm under Christ. I'm under his yoke. And if our constant statement is, oh, this is so hard. It's so terrible. It's so bothersome. I've got to get up and go to church on Sunday. And I've got all these things to do. And I've got all these things I'm involved in. And it's so tiring. And it's so difficult. And there's so many things I can't do. And it's just awful. Well, if someone's in the world and sees that, why would they want that? Right? Because their life is probably hard enough. Why do I want to make it harder? So what is the message we need to be communicating to people? If you come to Christ, it's better. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Come to him and find rest. As we move in to this holiday season, and it's coming whether you want it or not. It's like, what's the day, the 28th of November? 3 days till December 1st, is that right? 30 days in November? 3 days be December 1st? It's been Christmas in Lowe's for 2 months. It's been Christmas at Cracker Barrel for 4. And everywhere you go, it's always fascinating when we're driving home from Kressel Thanksgiving night, the number of people who put their Christmas lights up Thanksgiving Day. You drive back and you see them all. You're like, oh, yeah, they got theirs up. They got theirs up. Oh, see a tree through that window? Everybody got theirs up. By the way, that's why we moved our tree, so you could see it through the window. I don't want people looking through my window. That's just creepy. But it's coming. It's coming. But you have some control over the holiday season. You do have some control. And you do have the ability to find some rest in this season. Some time to sit back and go, you know what? There's a lot of stuff I could be doing, but you know what I'm going to do tonight? I'm going to take a night, and I just want to sit and rest. I want to find some peace and some joy in this crazy busy season that we've created. You know, we've got our soup and sandwich thing, and it's like, you know what? Make a few sandwiches, a bowl of soup, come out here, enjoy soup, come in here, and just sing some Christmas songs. Nothing complicated, nothing difficult. Just gonna come in and sing some Christmas songs. That sounds pretty nice. But trying to find a way to find some rest in this season so that we don't get to Christmas and just say, man, I'm so glad this is over. I mean, what a terrible thing we've done to the celebration of the birth of Christ if our attitude on December 26th is, thank God that's over. We have made ourselves too busy. We have failed in our responsibility to find some of that rest that God desires to provide us. I grew up in the home of a workaholic. My dad was a workaholic. He was. And He ran the city water plant, and he was a volunteer fireman, and he had a ministry job, and he owned his own business, and he was really busy. And not long after Caleb was born, my dad looked at me, and this is what he said to me. He said, "Son, don't spend so much time providing as a father that you don't act like one. Don't get so busy that you miss your kid's childhood." I've never forgotten that. It is really important for us to find balance in our lives. I don't want anybody to leave here today saying, "Well, Stuart said that all this work that needs to be done at the church, we don't need to do it." Because that's what some of you, I always have to throw that in, because that's what some of you are hearing. Stuart said, "We ain't got to do nothing," which is weird, because every week he gets up and tells us all this stuff we got to do. Now he just said, "You ain't got to do nothing." That's not what I said. What I said is, see, I always have to clarify. Ethel's over there laughing. Ethel's like, "I was wondering if he was going to fix this." That's what she heard. That's what Ethel heard. That's what Ethel heard. That's why I fixed it, because I know Ethel. I was like, "Ethel's thinking, I better fix this." I'm not saying that there's never anything to do. What I am saying, though, is that there needs to be balance. I'm not saying you shouldn't shop for Christmas, especially for shopping for me. I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to a Christmas party at a friend's house. I'm not saying that you shouldn't do all these other things. What I am saying is we do have some control over whether or not we overschedule ourselves to the point that we have no time to enjoy the season, to find balance in your relationship with God. I do not believe that God instituted the Sabbath for no reason. I know we're not under the Mosaic law anymore, and I know that a lot of us say, we don't have to observe that. But I don't believe that God instituted the Sabbath for no reason. I think there was a lesson in there he wanted people to understand. And one of those things is that there are times when we need to slow down. We need to slow down and rest and spend some time, some nice quiet time with God. It's a critical part of our relationship with him. I'm going to ask the praise team to come and lead us in our communion song this morning. I want to challenge you as you start moving towards that season. You've got all these things on your calendar. Maybe do this. Maybe find a day on your calendar and mark it out, and just say, "This. You know what this is? This day is for me and my family. We're not going to schedule anything else on that day. We're going to sit at home that night. We're going to spend some time together. We're not scheduling anything else. And it's going to be some time just for us to sit around and just enjoy a nice quiet evening at home. Maybe we'll have some cinnamon rolls or some hot chocolate, you know, whatever. We're just going to enjoy some quiet time where we don't have anything scheduled." Maybe you can find some, and maybe in that time you can even maybe find a little time to pray with your family, to maybe share in the true meaning of Christmas, and not let that get pushed out of your schedule. Your choice this morning, as the season begins to ramp up, to find some rest in Christ.